How do you define success? The news is full of stories of people who claim that the American dream is dying, especially for minorities and women. Just what is the American dream? Is it mortgage rates, a 9-to-5 grind, broken marriages? Why are there so many self-help books giving advice on how to mend damaged relationships, whip destructive addictions, and make more money? Yet, for many people, something is missing. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to take a look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Everyone wants to feel valued as a person. Our society tends to judge a person's value by beauty or a perfect body. We also find value in what we own, stylish clothes, a car, or how much money we make. Others find a sense of worth and appreciation in status or belonging to a certain group. It would be nice to make our trouble disappear by dressing a certain way or making a lot of money. But you want to be successful. You want to have a good job, friends, clothes, a nice car, and have some fun in life. Especially for young people, this can seem confusing when it sometimes seems like teachers, parents, ministers, and peers are all trying to define who you are. You begin to feel like a contortionist as everyone tells you to keep your back to the wall, ear to the ground, shoulder to the wheel, nose to the grindstone, while keeping a level head with both feet firmly planted on the ground. The United States was rocked by a social revolution during the 1960s that irrevocably changed society. Young people became disillusioned with their parents' belief that fulfillment is based in religion, duty to country, family, hard work, and commitment to community. They became acutely aware of religious hypocrisy, racism, greed, and the senseless governmental policies of the Vietnam War. The result was a revolution that we're still experiencing today. A revolution in clothing styles, music, drug use, freedom from sexual restraint, a sense of rebellion, and the belief that the purpose of life is in the search for self. Pop psychology espoused the same philosophy of life. It's expressed today in a vocabulary of self-esteem, self-actualization, self-acceptance, and self-realization. Millions of people are trying to get in touch with themselves. The conclusion of this search for self is, since no one can determine who I am, except myself, then no other person has the right to determine right from wrong. What may be wrong for you may be right for me. There's a fatal flaw in the belief that happiness is to be found in the pursuit of self with no concrete guidelines of right and wrong. You see, the paradox is, no matter how hard you pursue pleasing yourself, life is going to be a mixture of happiness and sadness, joy and tragedy, success and failure, and all worthwhile endeavors and intimate human relationships demand self-sacrifice. There is a map that can help you find your way through this maze. It was given to us by the Creator of life. It's called the Bible. In the Bible, God gives us reference points on how to handle life's problems, how to avoid destructive behavior and thoughts, how to enjoy life and face bad times with hope and faith. Happiness, fulfillment, contentment aren't things you find. These traits are developed in you by living a certain way. Sometimes life seems like the story of the mother who went to buy a toy for her small child. She commented to the salesman that the toy was too complicated for children. He answered, "It's an educational toy designed to prepare a child for today's world. Any way he puts it together, it's wrong." Well, God has given us a way to put life together. There is a map. There is a way to make it work. You see, the real question isn't who you are, because all of us are in the process of learning and growing. The real question is, who are you becoming day by day, by the decisions you make, by the choices you make? If you really want to find yourself, look in the way of life defined by your Maker. The Bible clearly teaches the principles of cause and effect. Our choices, our actions, good and bad, produce results. The Bible, unfortunately, is the last place many people look to find answers to how to have a happy marriage, manage finances, be more successful at the workplace, or how to be more healthy. In short, many people don't understand that the Bible tells us how to make life work. It gives us standards by which to live, standards established by the Creator of life. Many people go through life with only a vague concept of personal standards. The goals you set, what you accomplish, even how you define success depends upon the standards or principles you choose to live by. The Creator gives us basic universal standards that define character for His children. It's from these standards that we develop our foundational values. Values are beliefs that are so important that they define how we spend our lives, how we spend our time. If I offered you a choice between a box containing plastic jewelry and a box filled with gold jewelry studded with diamonds and rubies, wouldn't you automatically choose the real jewelry? You know that gold is intrinsically more valuable than plastic. It's the same way with real standards. Once a standard forms a foundational value, to compromise will cause such intense conflict that you must choose to either change your actions or change your values. Something is wrong with the values of many people in society. Spiritual, emotional, and mental plastic is valued more than spiritual gold. Jesus told a parable that the kingdom of God is like a man who discovers a pearl of great price and sells everything he has in order to purchase it. What are the standards of your life? What principles do you value so much that to compromise would mean to change who you are? What price are you willing to pay for the pearl of great price? There are two problems that people face in achieving real success. First, do you even know what the pearl of great price looks like? And secondly, are you willing to pay that price? The first thing you must do is get a bigger picture of why you were born. How can you determine what the Creator wants you to do with the time that you have here on earth? We'll talk about the big picture for your life in the next segment. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Getting the bigger picture for your life is essential. A case in point. The African plateau was spotted with clumps of tents and red-coated British soldiers. Armed with fine breech-loading rifles and 500,000 rounds of ammunition, there seemed little to fear from the spear-toting Zulus. But sometimes 500,000 bullets just aren't enough. The 1870s British Empire stretched from Canada to the Orient. Even the most remote outpost was run with textbook military code and discipline. They seemed invincible to almost everyone, including themselves. In 1879, violence erupted between the British protectorate in South Africa and the Zulu kingdom. England sent an army to invade Zululand. The invading force split into two columns, the main column marching a few miles ahead of a smaller force. The smaller column camped at the foot of a ragged mountain called Isonawana. As the men were eating breakfast, the alarm sounded. Within a few moments, the soldiers formed a horseshoe defensive line around the camp. The danger of the situation dawned when there appeared, seemingly out of nowhere, 20,000 Zulu warriors. The British line didn't waver. Each man was an expert marksman, and they possessed 500,000 rounds of ammunition. When the Zulus came within range, the soldiers opened fire. The warriors went down by the dozens. The attack wavered. For nearly an hour, there was a standoff, with British soldiers holding their ground against the fierce Zulus. If you stood atop Isonawana, you would have witnessed an awesome sight. The mile-long horseshoe line facing a mass of struggling warriors. 1,000 yards behind the soldiers lay the ammunition wagons, where runners carried cartridges to the firing lines. If you stood atop Isonawana that day, you would also notice, as the morning wore on, the sound of gunfire weakened. At the ammunition wagons, activities continued with textbook rigidity, and a counting was made of every cartridge. Each ammunition box had numerous screws, and only the quartermaster had a screw. Each box was opened only when another was empty. Runners from the battle stood in line for their cartridges. No hurrying, no pushing, no panic. If a soldier showed up in a wagon that didn't belong to his company, he was ordered to run 100 yards to the next wagon. All along the line, the British infantry was getting nervous. They continued to push cartridges into their breech loaders, mark the targets, squeeze off the rounds. NCOs calmly barked orders telling the men to stay under control. But more and more men were saying, "Where's the ammo?" The amount of cartridges reaching the line had slowed to a trickle. Hundreds of ammunition boxes were still unopened. But rules are rules, and cartridges were distributed under strict accounting procedures. The volume of fire slackened. A native company ran out of bullets and ran towards the rear. The Zulus rushed into the gap. The slaughter of the British troops began. Of the 950 European troops who took the field that day, only 55 survived. Of the 850 native troops, only 300 made it back to safety. What happened at Isonawana is the only time an army possessing 500,000 bullets, neatly stacked in unopened boxes, was destroyed because its troops ran out of ammunition. The British quartermasters were so concerned with control of details, they missed the bigger picture. You know, sometimes in the hustle and bustle of the job, children's school activities, rushing to the next meeting, fixing the car, and trying to make ends meet, we lose sight of the purpose of life. Many times, we don't wake up from our preoccupation with details until the crisis is upon us in the form of ruined health, devastated relationships, and depression. It's not that we can afford to ignore all details, but we must be aware of the importance of details in relationship with a bigger picture for our lives. Stephen Covey, in his book Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, calls this difference between the urgent and the unimportant. He says, urgent matters are usually visible. They press on us. They insist on action. They're often popular with others. They're usually right in front of us, and often they are pleasant, easy, fun to do. But so often they are unimportant. Importance, on the other hand, has to do with results. If something is important, it contributes to your mission, your values, your high-priority goals. Reminds me of the story of when Jesus visited the house of two sisters. Mary sat and listened to Jesus teach the principles of life. Martha was distraught with details of preparations for her guests. Martha complained that Mary wasn't doing her part. Jesus answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You see, Mary saw a bigger picture. The details would still be there, and in their time, it would come to do them. But now there was something more important for Martha to do. Where do we start in determining what is important? A list of priorities is determined by the end goal. Christianity isn't simply a set of beliefs. It is a way of life with a definite goal. Jesus Christ reminds us, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You know, what would happen in your life if you faced each day with the goal of being like Jesus Christ? How many urgent details would you set aside to fulfill what's really important? Would you answer the telephone or finish your family dinner? Would you turn off the television to take a walk with your spouse? Would you take time to clear your mind of troubles and meditate on God's plan for your life? Would you give up watching one basketball game a month to visit the elderly and the sick? Organizations create what are called mission statements or short statements of why they exist and what they want to achieve. What is your life's mission statement? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave this important starting point in helping us answer the questions. Now, the questions there in the Sermon on the Mount he was talking about are, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And that's in the context in which he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The mission statement for all Christians is just that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God has a bigger picture for your life. Don't lose sight of that bigger picture as the British Army did at Isandlwana. You have all the ammunition you need, but you must use it. Spend time every day in contact with God through prayer and Bible study. Live by the words in his instruction book. Take care of the essentials, and the unimportant will take care of itself. In the next segment, we're going to discuss how to establish goals that will help you achieve true success. We'll be back right after these important messages.
Frankly, life just isn't working for some people. Maybe you have noticed the incredible proliferation of self-help books on store and library bookshelves. You may not realize that most families already own the best self-help book ever published. Millions of copies have been printed, and it's been translated into hundreds of languages. Its words have been around for thousands of years. This book is your Bible. The sponsors of this radio program have put together a booklet titled Making Life Work that helps you make sense out of life. It's filled with practical, down-to-earth advice from the pages of your Bible. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of Making Life Work. There is no cost or obligation, and it may change your life for the better. Ask for your free copy today by calling 1-800-966-9232. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
Little did I know how receiving the I Dare You Award when graduating from high school, how that would affect my life. William H. Danforth's book would challenge me to explore life as an adventure of personal growth and sharing with others. But it was a lecture by John Goddard on setting personal goals that opened my mind to the endless possibilities of that challenge. Glenn Van Eckeren gives this summary of Goddard's achievements. In 1972, Life magazine published a story depicting the adventures of John Goddard. His story was one of undying determination filled with personal purpose. When he was 15, he heard his grandmother say, "If I had only done this when I was young." Determined not to spend his life playing the if-only game, John Goddard sat down and decided what he wanted to do with his life. When he finished writing, 127 goals existed. John Goddard decided that there were 10 rivers he wanted to explore, along with 17 mountains he wanted to climb. He decided to become an Eagle Scout, visit every country in the world, learn to fly an airplane, and dive in a submarine. He wanted to retrace the travels of Marco Polo and ride a horse in the Rose Parade. This was just the beginning. John Goddard committed himself to reading the Bible from cover to cover, reading the entire works of Shakespeare, Plato, Dickens, Aristotle, Socrates, and several other classic authors. He planned to read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica and yet have time to learn to play the flute and violin. Marriage, children, he had five, and a stint with church missions were also in his plans, along with a career in medicine. In 1972, John Goddard, at 47, had accomplished 103 of his 127 goals. Goddard exemplifies the excitement of determining a purpose in life, setting goals, and pursuing them with determination. Now, you may not have much interest in exploring rivers and climbing mountains, but how would you answer the question, what are my life's goals? The answer to this question has much to do with the quality of your life. When you know and understand your life's mission and foundational values, then you have a basis for developing personal goals. It used to be that it was in the teen years and early 20s when a person decided upon and trained for what he or she wanted to accomplish in life. But in today's fast-paced society, a career can become obsolete overnight. We have to have an inner character that prepares us to meet the challenges of tomorrow. Where would we begin to find examples on how to develop goals? Not just career goals, but goals that help us develop as complete human beings, using our skills and talents and developing lasting, happy relationships. Obviously, the life of Jesus would be a great place to start. So go pick up your Bible and find passages that deal with Jesus' teenage years, identity struggles, and preparatory career education. But the long pages of information aren't there. Instead, the entire life of Jesus, from ages 12 to 30, is summarized in one verse, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. It says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." This verse contains the most important instructions for people in the developmental years between 12 and 30. The key phrase is, "And Jesus increased." These were active, productive years of personal growth and preparation. The verse then gives four basic areas of life in which Jesus grew. In wisdom, in other words, he grew mentally. In stature, physical health. In favor with man, Jesus grew socially. He was a person that people liked. And in favor with God, he grew in his relationship with God. He grew spiritually. Now let's look at how your life fits into these four areas. Get out a piece of paper and write down these four categories. Spiritual. This area of life is our relationship with God, worship practices, and religious doctrinal beliefs. Physical. This area encompasses our health and our appearance. Mental. This area of life includes our attitudes, our abilities. And social. This area encompasses healthy relationships with others. When we find ourselves struggling with lack of purpose, depression, or always in conflict with others, we need to ask, what is out of balance with my life? Am I living on course with my life's mission? Am I compromising my foundational values? Is my life spiritually, physically, mentally, and socially balanced? True success doesn't come cheap. Instead of dedicating all your time to selfishness, it involves work and self-sacrifice. As William Danforth wrote so many years ago, inner growth and broadening personality come from daring and sharing. You dare to use the talents you have. You find yourself growing stronger physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. You multiply your daring 100-fold by sharing its fruits. You give your life away, and behold, a richer life comes back to you. You may not realize it, but you probably already own the best self-help book ever published. Dust off your Bible and let God tell you how to make life work. And if you would like some help in your personal exploration of His way, call for your free copy of Making Life Work. In this booklet, you will find chapters on marriage, child-rearing, friendship, success in your career, achieving financial security, and how to improve your health. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-966-9232. Before you can learn to make life work, you first have to understand the wonderful purpose for your creation. Why were you born? There is a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. God wants you to establish a mission for your life, to first seek His kingdom and His righteousness. He then wants you to find and develop your own abilities and talents, not just for selfish reasons, but to help others. He wants you to experience meaningful, fulfilling relationships. The choice is up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Mankind has been remarkably successful in many material and physical ways. For example, we have successfully mastered the skies, and so airplanes and spacecraft fly safely. We have successfully transplanted hearts and even genetically cloned animals. Many things work successfully because we have followed the physical laws and principles that make them work. But have you ever wondered whether there are laws and principles that make life itself work successfully for you? Are there biblical principles that lead to a successful life? Find the answers in our free booklet, Making Life Work. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy. Whether it is family success or greater personal achievement in other ways, there are timeless principles of success which are explained in this 32-page full-color booklet, Making Life Work. Call now. Get on the road to success and make your life work. Call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Operators are standing by for your call. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.